and welcome to Philadelphia Focus. I'm Laura Lewis, and with us today, we have the Communications Director for the Mural Arts Philadelphia Program, Caitlin Chase. And Caitlin, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
And of course, we are doing this by Zoom, starting off every conversation these days with that little disclaimer there. But so, Mural Arts, you're still continuing under these circumstances?
We sure are. Yeah. I mean, one of the first questions we asked now 2 months ago when we first started to go into quarantine was, how can we, first of all, continue our programming and keep our participants engaged? And luckily, we were able to pivot relatively quickly to virtual programming in a lot of our areas. So that's been fantastic. And we've been, you know, kind of quietly emerging over the last couple of months to continue to bring art across the city, which I'm really excited to talk to you about today.
We know when I reached out to you at first, I thought, you know, of all of the arts organizations that have been on over the many, many years, I was thinking, well, at least the Mural Arts Program is still accessible to the community. You can be bundled up in a hazmat suit and still, if you're out walking or in your car, you can still enjoy all of the art that is scattered throughout the area. But then when you just mentioned the participants, you are so much more. What we actually see is just the tip of the iceberg. There are so many different people who are contributing to this, and you have so many other programs that aren't visible to us.
Right. Yeah, it's so true. You know, I think a lot of people obviously know us for the over 4,000 murals that we've contributed to the city, but we do actually offer a lot of social services hand in hand with art making opportunities that help create those murals. So one of the first things we did actually, you know, we have an art ed program that works with thousands and thousands of students. And so obviously when the schools closed, we thought, yikes, you know, how can we keep these students engaged and help parents keep their kids entertained while they're at home, which is a very difficult challenge. So we employ a number of teaching artists, and we actually were able to create a video tutorial program. So all of our teaching artists, we're continuing to employ them so that they can create these art making videos that we post on our social channels and on our website every Monday and Wednesday. And, you know, we've been doing that for, I think, since the second week of quarantine. So we've got quite a number of videos up now, which are just an excellent way to keep everybody entertained, but also to, you know, keep that art making practice alive at home.
Keep them engaged.
Right.
Now, let's talk about in normal times, pre and post, when we're back to our day-to-day routines. You want to talk a little bit about what is Mural Arts Philadelphia? And well, I mentioned earlier that before the show began, that one of my very first guests on this show, when I inherited it some 21 years ago, was Jane Golden, the founder of the program. And it has evolved over the years into this behemoth of programming. So do you want to give us a little bit of the background and then talk about that the rest of that iceberg, the base that we don't see underneath the water's level?
Sure. Yeah. So Mural Arts has been around for over 35 years now, which is kind of incredible. Jane Golden still at the helm as our executive director. And the program actually originally began as the Anti-Graffiti Network as part of the city. And we still are part of the city. It began as an opportunity to kind of make these blank walls throughout Philadelphia that had been plagued by graffiti more beautiful with these murals. And I know Jane worked really closely with a lot of graffiti artists, actually, to give them these opportunities to really empower them to see themselves as artists and help create these beautiful works of art that then no one actually wanted to graffiti over. So we kind of like killed two birds with one stone there. And the program, it continued to grow. So beyond mural making, I mean, we started to think about, how do we empower individuals throughout Philadelphia who also may not see themselves as artists, but have the potential to be incredibly creative and create beautiful works of art? And so we have a number of programs that help us do that. So I mentioned Art Ed, where we work with students of many ages to empower them to see themselves as artists and give them these creative opportunities. And then we have our Porch Light program, which works with, we have a number of storefronts actually that we did have to close in lieu of this pandemic, but we've been able to stay connected one-on-one. We've been making phone calls to everyone who's involved in those programs. And then actually kind of incredible. One of our storefronts in South Philly, where a lot of new immigrant communities live, it's called South by East by Southeast. The women have been hand sewing masks and making them. We donated a number of them to CHOP. And I know they're continuing to make them and want to donate them to other individuals as well. So they've remained active. And then our restorative justice program also works with justice-involved individuals. And our guild program, we see a number of individuals come through every year that help us with, they will help us build scaffolding and help us build murals as well. And they, you know, have been stuck at home and unable to do kind of the more hands-on work that they would typically do. So they've been learning more soft skills. You know, they've been like figuring out how to build a resume, work on their LinkedIn page. And we've had a couple of mentors come in and do virtual learning with them. So we've really been able to keep everyone engaged. We work with thousands of different individuals every year, and we're really proud of the way that we've remained a resource to them in this strange time.
I do want to get into the community involvement aspect of this because, you know, empowerment and investment and ownership of art in the community, it really is an amazing program in that sense, and it creates sense of community. But go back and talk a little bit about the restorative justice program, because the first time I heard about that, I thought, this is absolutely amazing, and quite a few others have taken notice of it over the last couple of years. So talk a little bit about that program.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'll speak first to the Guild, which is a program through our restorative justice program, which is really incredible. It's a paid apprenticeship program that gives formerly incarcerated individuals the opportunity to connect with their community and take on art making opportunities. They work on a number of creative projects, from mural making to carpentry, mosaics, a lot of really hands-on work. And as I mentioned, that was one of the pivots we had to consider with this pandemic, was how do we keep those individuals engaged in a remote capacity, which we've been able to do, thankfully. The other really interesting fellowship program coming out of restorative justice right now is the Reimagining Reentry Fellowship. It's been quite a process. Began in April 2019, so it's been quite a long iteration for these seven fellows that we've been working with. It's been designed to support formerly incarcerated artists who are applying creative practices to address critical issues of mass incarceration in Philadelphia. You know, we had actually planned to debut a lot of their work this summer at the African American Museum, so now we're trying to kind of reimagine our own reentry as society, actually, and how this may impact their work. So they're continuing to work on a number of different pieces, a lot of multimedia, not even necessarily just mural making, but we're really excited to share that with everyone. And hopefully we'll be able to do that in the fall. But in the meantime, we're trying to think through what may virtual unveilings of their work look like over the summer, which we're excited to share with everyone.
I hate to take us off in another direction, but of course, we are sitting down now. Today is, I believe, I don't even know the date anymore. The day of the week is kind of a surprise to me. But as we're sitting down and doing this, it has been announced that funding has been cut to the African American Museum. What about your own funding? How is this office going to, because you are part of the city of Philadelphia, are you going to weather this storm?
Yeah, it's a difficult time for everybody, and especially the arts community. You know, we did actually receive a 20% cut to our city funding, and it's tough. I mean, I think, you know, obviously our priority is maintaining the programming that we have, and we're kind of figuring out now how to continue to do that. And yeah, we feel for the arts, obviously. I think, you know, there are a lot of priorities right now. People's health and wellness and safety are obviously a top priority. But, you know, I would also argue that arts is essential. You know, when we went into this quarantine, what did people turn to first? You turn on your TV, you're watching television, or we're watching movies, you're turning on the radio. It's all art. And yeah, I think mural arts especially, you know, through our programs, we touch a lot of lives, and so we want to make sure that we continue to keep our participants active and serve them the way that we always have. But art is therapeutic also, and so we want to make sure that we're able to continue to bring public art that is accessible to everyone in Philadelphia and even beyond as a means of coping, too. You know, art is essential, is what I'll say.
Well, the office that is being threatened and is probably going to close is the arts and culture and the creative economy, because art is big business in Philadelphia. And your program is one of the things that we tout when we say, come to Philly. And, you know, it came to me the other day. Remember after 9/11 that when travel was cut back, a lot of people looked at travel and tourism close to home, driving trips. Philadelphia might see a huge boon in its tourism after all of this settles, as people don't spend their money elsewhere. And it's also more economical to visit us.
Yeah, wouldn't that be great? I know. And that's the beautiful thing about, you know, the city of murals here in Philadelphia, is that we have created over 4,000 works of art that you can absolutely access from your car or walking and at a safe distance.
And you mentioned earlier, I'm interrupting you here, because we talked about murals and we always think about, of course, the huge canvases on the walls. But you've also alluded to the mosaics and other things. So it's really a multimedia experience now, isn't it?
It absolutely is. Yeah. And I know we've worked on a number of different projects that also include electric light. And, you know, we're always open to multimedia ideas from artists, and some incredible concepts have come our way over the years. I know most recently, actually last fall, 2019, we had our Sight Sound Festival. I don't know if you were able to enjoy that, but it was in partnership with the Rail Park. So it was an outdoor a visual and sound experience that occurred over several weeks. It was a really interesting experiment in how visual art and sound and motion picture and all of these different elements can come together to really create a really experiential experience, beyond off the wall art is what I like to call it. You know, we like to go above and beyond murals.
Well, Love Letters, for anyone who can remember that. And gosh, I bet that's now 5, 6,
It's been 10 years old now.
Some of it is still up. Well, you had to take SEPTA. You took the regional rail and you got to see a story told through the individual pieces of art that littered the route that you would take. So it's been interactive. And of course, the Mural Arts Program has had a big impact internationally as well. I know that you bring in, and I've interviewed artists over the years who have come in from other countries to both learn and collaborate on projects here.
Mm-hmm. So true. Yeah. And we hope to continue to do that sometime soon. You know, we had actually been in conversation with a number of international artists to try and figure out how to get them here before this pandemic hit. So yes, absolutely. We like to be as inclusive as possible. And, you know, but we also really love to support our local artists too. And that's something we have been able to do, especially now, is continue to keep artists here in Philadelphia employed.
Now let's, you know what, we're at the halfway point. I'm going to say that if you're just joining us, this is Philadelphia Focus. I'm Laura Lewis, and with us today, we have from the Mural Arts Philadelphia program, we have its communications director, Caitlin Chase. For more information, always go to their website, muralarts.org. Can't get any easier than that, muralarts.org. And when you go there, you will find, one, how to donate. Also, how to get your community involved in programming that you offer, programming for children, self-guided tours. In good times, you offer amazing walking tours. You generate your own programming where you can come out and experience this. There's also opportunities for us to get involved and get our own paws in paint or tile, etc. This is a community effort at the core.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love that you mentioned our tours, because yeah, that is one of our programs where we aren't offering tours right now, but we actually do have our Murals on the Fly series available now. So we've got incredible drone footage of our murals. So if you aren't able to go out and safely take a walk, you can check out Murals on the Fly. We air a new episode every Tuesday and Thursday, and it's a really unique kind of bird's eye view perspective of a lot of our work, which is fun.
and so many of them are just now part of the thread of our experience in Philadelphia. I mean, everybody knows common threads. Everybody recognizes, oh, you're down on Broad Street. Oh, you turn at this mural, or et cetera. It's so much a part of what we just now imagine. See a blank wall. Oh, I wonder what's going to go up there.
Yeah, absolutely. I know. Now I, you know, I've been working with Mural Arts for about 6 months, but every time I see a blank wall, I start to think, you know, what could go there? I'm an unofficial wall hunter now. But you make a great point. I mean, yes, we love that the murals have become iconic throughout Philadelphia. I moved to Philly around 5 years ago, and one of the first things I saw on my block was a mural, and it was such a source of comfort to me. And it really made me appreciate the fact that the city has prioritized the arts in this way that gives us permission to really to beautify so many walls across the city. But it really has become kind of a hallmark of Philadelphia, which I love.
And you just touched again on community, and these murals are not just arbitrarily plopped down.
No, absolutely. Yeah, our community process, we would never go into a neighborhood and presume that they wanted a certain design or they wanted a mural at all. You know, the community, these are created hand in hand with the community first and foremost. So we go through a number of community meetings before we even determine where a mural will go. You know, we go into that neighborhood, we give everyone in that community the opportunity to make their voice heard. And they are often part of the design process and the artist selection process even, so that they can appreciate what they're going to see. You know, we wouldn't want to put something up that someone's not going to like to see every day right in their around their house. You know, it's not, that wouldn't be fair to them. So they're very involved in that. And then, you know, typically in a normal day, we would actually involve the community in painting these murals too. We host a number of community paint days throughout the year where they have the opportunity to actually include their brushstroke on a work of art, which we're not able to do at this time, but we have been actually hosting a number of virtual community meetings to start talking about these designs that hopefully we will be able to start putting up on the walls when it's safe to do so.
And these murals also reflect the community where they are placed. Maybe it's an historic community that has disappeared. Maybe it's somebody famous for that area. Maybe it is a motto or a thought. But they do always have a message in them. And the City Office of Records down on Spring Garden, that has an interior project. You were involved with that, were you, right? That was yours, right?
I'm not sure.
Okay, I'll delete that part then. Okay, all right. So you've always had a message in them, and right now you've taken to pandemic messaging, and nothing is more heartbreaking than seeing the city devoid of people and in many cases boarded up.
Yeah, that is tough to see. Absolutely. And we were so excited, actually, when the Center City District approached us about this initiative we launched just last week called the Storefront Artwork Initiative. They've got these buildings boarded up, and it's so unfortunate. These just black big boards that not very pleasing to the eye, not very encouraging. So they had this great idea of, why don't we put artwork up on these boards? And we jumped at that opportunity. So we worked with 12 artists, and I believe we have 28 different works of art up now on these boarded up businesses. And they're hopeful images. They kind of help beautify this area that otherwise would be busy with people and laughter and joy. And we hope that these little works of art, although temporary, do kind of help share that message of hope that we will be able to kind of gather again, hope sometime soon.
And let's see here. Ongoing. Now you're in stores.
Yeah. So actually we are through our Space Pads initiative. Yeah. That was something we launched just over a month ago, actually. I'm sure if you've been in a pharmacy or a grocery store lately, you've seen these markers on the floor to help everyone maintain a 6-foot social distancing distance. And we thought, why can't we make these more beautiful too, rather than a piece of duct tape on the floor? So we created these vinyl decals that we call our Space Pads, and we've employed, I believe, over 30 artists now to design them. So they're these beautiful kind of mini works of art now that are spaced out to help everyone maintain that distance. But they also have really helpful health messaging on them as well. And we were so thrilled, actually, only a couple of weeks after we initially launched that at a ShopRite location here in South Philadelphia, where I live, the Department of Public Health reached out to us and said, you know what, why don't we expand this opportunity? And so we have recently launched at a number of Philadelphia Housing Authority sites where they're doing food distribution. So we've been able to put the Space Pads down in all of these other locations where people need to continue to gather to receive essential services. And we hope, you know, very soon we're looking at maybe an additional 80 different locations, bodegas, corner stores, places like that where people need to continue to patron. We'll have these space pads and accompanying posters that have been translated into a number of different languages to make them easily accessible, that have essential health messaging to help keep everyone safe during this time.
Now, extraordinary figures. We're closing in on that, but the community has been nominating. Well, tell us about that program.
Yeah, well, I love that you mentioned that the murals throughout the city really do represent the people of Philadelphia. We like to obviously connect all of our work to the community, and we do like to give everyone the opportunity to be part of this process. And so how do we do that remotely? You know, we started to think, how can we also pay homage to these people who have really stepped up during this crisis? So our Extraordinary Figures Project, we have opened it up to nominations. Nominate anybody who's been doing their part. You know, it doesn't have to just be first responders, although obviously we do want to include them. But, you know, bus drivers, your postal worker, anybody, submit a nomination. It only takes a couple of minutes. Nominations are open until May 22nd through our website. And then we're going to pair these stories with an artist who's going to create a portrait of this person. And then these portraits will live on our website while as long as they can. And then, you know, hopefully we'll be able to turn this into a real physical mural sometime soon.
That's amazing. Now, but we talked a little bit about, well, the communities can get involved. Your programming in the schools, when in normal times, you offer that throughout the year, and there are all these opportunities for young people to get involved in the arts. And for a lot of them, it's the first time that they ever think in terms of participation in a group project, too. These are not just solo efforts. It's group work.
It is often group work. That's correct. Yeah. So it's a great opportunity to build, you know, teamwork skills, but also empower young people to see themselves as artists. And yeah, as I mentioned earlier, I mean, one of the first things we thought was, okay, if the schools are closing, how do we continue to reach these students? So our teaching artists have been creating these online tutorials that can keep children and parents engaged in these art making opportunities at home. And, you know, one of the things I really love about our art ed programming is that we often have students start with us at a very young age, and they will continue through our program until they graduate high school. And then often we actually end up employing them as teaching artists down the line too. So they really, once they are in our program, we really like to kind of hold on to them and cherish them. And we're just so glad that we've been able to maintain employment for our teaching artists and also maintain that connection between them and the students by offering these online classes.
How do we participate in this? Now, obviously, if I'm a kid and I'm in one of the schools that's participating in these programs, or if I'm participating in the homeschool online art classes, I'm participating. But what about the random Joe or Jane standing on the corner who looks up and says, I would like to have this in my community, or I want to get my hands dirty. I want to do this as well. How do we participate in programming?
So, to participate in our art ed program, yes, often it is students. But if you wanted to participate as a teaching artist, Stephen, you can approach us, go to our website, and you can apply. But if you wanted to see a mural in your community, too, and you want to be part of that process, you can submit suggestions to us. We're always looking for, we're always receiving requests for new murals. And actually, can I pause?
Sure.
I want to make sure we actually are receiving nominations right now, because I think we had to pause that.
I kind of was giving you the app too about May 22nd, because today is, and it takes 2 weeks for the show to rotate through all Yeah. So, but that's okay. I'm going to let that in there, because I mentioned earlier that we are sitting down, you know, and I don't even know the date.
So. You know, and I should say, I mean, that's our first round. Well, we're likely going to extend it. Okay. So if they, I guess I can't guarantee it at this point, but yes, May 22nd is the first round. Okay. Yeah. New requests for murals are temporarily suspended through August 1st.
Okay. But no, you can say, the normal process, the usual process has always been blah, 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 blah. You know, mm-hmm. you can do it. Yeah. We're going to assume that this is not pandemic time.
Right.
You want me to ask that again? You want me to just ask you the question again?
Sure.
Okay. All right. How does John or how does Joe or Jane get involved in the programming? And again, we're going to assume that we are back to our usual or whatever the new normal will be.
Sure. Yeah. So if you wanted to get involved in our art ed program, obviously we work with a number of students. But if you want to, we're interested in becoming a teaching artist with us, you can always apply online on our website. And actually, if you were involved or interested in getting involved in one of our Porchlight programs, on a normal day, you could walk into any of our storefronts and participate in some programming. We have a storefront in Kensington in the Northeast and also in South Philadelphia. And if you were a community member interested in getting a mural up in your neighborhood, you could submit through our website, suggest a wall. We're always looking for walls, and start the process that way. So yes, we're always receiving submissions and ideas and are always open to involving anyone who's interested in our processes.
Do you ever have open painting sessions where you are working on something?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's such a shame because this is such beautiful weather. And typically we would be hosting a number of different community paint days in different neighborhoods. So often when we are working on a piece, we can invite the community out and they can come and put their own brush strokes on a beautiful mural. And we hope to be able to do that again soon.
And for somebody who's not familiar with the process too, you're not standing on scaffolding. And a lot of sometimes the professional artist is standing on scaffolding, but a lot of times this is on canvas that's then applied to the building and put together like a wallpaper.
Correct. Yeah. It's a parachute cloth material. And it's interesting. I actually, before working for Mural Arts, I didn't realize that either. And I was always kind of like, oh, I'm so shocked when one day there's a blank wall and then the next day there's suddenly a mural there. And that's because often our artists can work on these pieces in their own studios or remotely. So they're not necessarily on the wall all the time. But yeah, they're able to work on parachute cloth. And that's how we're actually able to involve so many other people in the process too, is that they can work on different sections of a mural from the comfort of their home or wherever they please. And then we're able to kind of glue it all onto the wall as a cohesive piece. So yeah, it's a really interesting process.
But you know what? Nothing though beats the thrill of, you know, you're cruising around looking for a parking space. You're desperately looking. And then you notice scaffolding and there's somebody standing there dabbing on paint. And you realize, oh my gosh, I'm watching an artist actually do the mural, because there are some solo efforts. And I'll sit there and just watch illegally park. Yeah. Watch. It's great. And of course, when we go to your website, what do we find in our waning moments? What do we find when we go to your website?
Yeah, so muralarts.org, you know, we have a number of different opportunities. There are so many opportunities to get involved with us, but also all of our works of art are featured on our website too, or at least most of them. So if you are bored and need something to do right now and just want to appreciate some artwork, you can enjoy our murals virtually through our website. The other thing I want to mention too is that obviously we have a lot of work going on now. We're trying to be as responsive as possible to this pandemic, and it's a difficult time for the arts, as I mentioned, and we've launched this Hope and Healing campaign in hopes that people can help give to Mural Arts to help support this programming that we're launching in response to the pandemic. So if you go to muralarts.org/hope-healing, it's a great opportunity to give to support Mural Arts and support all the work that we're doing in communities now.
And again, that is hope-healing, and you find that at their website, muralarts.org. That is the place for information about, well, when times are good again, submitting a request, finding out about community painting opportunities, the many tours that they offer throughout the year, walking and trolley, and all kinds of talks and discussions about the murals, all can be found at muralarts.org. And my guest today, it's Communications Director Caitlin Chase. Caitlin, thanks for coming. Oh, Caitlin, thanks for dialing in today.
Thanks so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
It's been fun. And of course, muralarts.org for Mural Arts Philadelphia. Caitlin, thank you very much. I'm Laura Lewis. This has been Philadelphia Focus.